This audio tour is a work by Inge Wohl Lund. Additional sounds were created and mixed by Claire Tolan. The total duration of the tour is 1 hour. The tour has adult content, and it is intended to be listened to in the public realm. If you're underage, please refrain from listening. When in the public realm, always remember to respect the privacy of other people. Riding so slowly, it hurts. You're now sitting on a train. The train is drawing a line around the city. You being placed on the outer edge. If you live in this city, it is likely that sitting on this train, you're circling most people you know. I myself very rarely step outside the line drawn up by this train. Some days, when sitting on a seat like the one you're sitting on right now, I think of the people living on the inside of this line as my friends. People I hang out with. People I share my secrets with. The people on the outside of the line I think of as strangers. People I have yet to meet. I like, she said, when men move their lips slightly apart. You know when you can see the wetness from the inside of their mouth? Like when they concentrate on something? Or when they come? No men come with their mouth closed. Sometimes, at night, when listening to the sounds of the city, I feel like if the city is whispering to me, caressing me with its sounds, the soft, almost silent humming of the trains far away, the cars passing on the street outside, the electric current summing, nothing ever stops. I do not like to travel by public transport, she said. It is not the time that it takes, nor the noise that is always present. I looked at her. When I take a seat in a cart, I cannot help but look at all the other people. And looking at them, I see all their movements, their chests lifting. Stomachs that follow the movement of their chests as the air they breathe goes deeper into their lungs. On hot days, I can see the veins on people's hands, enlarged by the heat. They beat as the blood flows through them, transporting oxygen from the heart to the other parts of the body. Everywhere this surrounds me, even large men with crude motor skills have these tiny movements. She pointed at her own body. The soft jersey of her t-shirt moved slightly at every heartbeat. Before the fabric stopped moving from one beat of the heart, another beat followed. It makes me so tired, she said. Turn your attention towards the cart you're in. Look at the walls. Look at the roof. Look at your fellow passengers. Look at the way their clothes fall on their bodies. Their pants. Their t-shirts. Their shirts. Their sweaters. Their sneakers. Their leather shoes. What is your favorite fantasy? I asked her. I do not know, she answered. Some passengers are wearing clothes that have faded by being worn around the city, day after day. You have to say something, I said. Do you want me to say something exciting? She asked. You can say anything you want, I answered. You are wearing a faded blue shirt, she said. It is buttoned up all the way. I move as close as I can to you without touching you. I can feel your warm breath against my neck. With my right hand, I unbutton your top button. I have not told you, but you know you're not supposed to touch me. You're standing still, breathing heavy warm breaths of air on my neck, while I slowly, one hand only, unbutton the rest of your shirt. Is that it? I asked. Yes, she answered. Look at how the older clothes of the passengers are permanently shaped by the body who wears it. Look at how it tears where it sits too tightly. Or where it brushes off and against something, like on the knees, or the inside of the thighs. I was not wearing anything, she said. He was wearing jeans and a t-shirt of old, outwashed cotton. The white color had taken on a gray hue. The material was so thin that any tear would make it rip. Around the hem of the neck, there were small holes. I stuck a finger through one of the holes, expanding it. Did this annoy him? I asked her. Yes, she answered. What happened then? Then he kicked his espadrilles. Also them soft on his feet. He unbuttoned his jeans and dropped them to the floor. I could see his erection through the soft, outworn fabric of his briefs. I put my hand on the white cotton, starting on the bottom, moving up. When I reached the top, where his penis had made a small wet spot, I moved my hand over the elastic band, gripping his warm dick. Then we fucked. Do you have any more details? I asked. When I came, he stuck one finger into my mouth. Look at how people's shoes are shaped by their feet. The feet expand the material they're made of where it sits too tightly. I like looking, she said. Just looking? I asked. Yes, she said. But you're also a woman. You know how it is. After reaching puberty, you have to look away. Walking down the street, you look away. Dancing in the club, you look away. Sitting on the train, you look away. I know. It is not that I do not like faces. It's not that I do not think that the eyes are the mirror of the soul. But these days, I just look other places. What do you see? Yesterday, I saw the legs of a man. He was wearing blue cotton pants. From his pocket, a keychain made of jade was hanging in a red string. As he sat down close to me, he pulled his pants for them to fold better while sitting. You know how men do this? Gently gripping the fabric above the knees in one firm pull. Like when pulling the ropes when riding a horse. Above his brown leather shoes, above his white socks, I saw his legs. They were tanned. curly hair was bleached by the sun. It was golden, almost white. This hair, against the blue cotton of his pants. That's what I saw. What else have you seen? Some days ago, I saw the hand of a man who had lost two fingers. His knuckles looked soft, like scar tissue do. Soft, like the skin around the nipples is soft. And the inside of the wrist, where you can feel the pulse. What do you like the most? I like seeing men opening bottles of carbonated water. The muscles in both hands strained for a short time, followed by the sound of the fists coming out. Like a sigh. She looked at me. I said I knew what she meant. Then she added, "You know how the fingers used for opening a bottle are almost always the same fingers as the fingers used for fingering?" "Yeah," I said. "Looking at someone is like giving them a punch," he said. "You put in all your weight, and then you aim for somewhere slightly behind whomever you want to take down." "We did not really know each other," she said. "We had been introduced, but we had never spoken together." As the crowd was thinning out, I suddenly heard him at the other side of the room. He was saying my name. His voice was firm. I turned around. He was dressed to go, and he was holding my jacket. I put my arms into it. He kissed my cheek. Not briefly, next to the ear, like strangers do. He kissed me with his moist lips right underneath the eye, where the skin is soft. Then he stretched out his arm for me to hold on to, and we exited the party together. First, we just walked next to each other, pretending that we did not know what we were up to. None of us said anything. Then, when outside his place, he asked me if I wanted to pick up the book I had once said that I wanted to borrow. I asked him if he was confusing me with someone else. He said no. We walked up the stairs to his apartment. While I looked in his shelf for the right book, he stood behind me. He stretched out an arm around my shoulder, pulling a book out of the shelf. I turned around. We looked each other in the eyes. Before moving his lips towards mine, he pushed my body with his body towards the shelf. I put my hand on his butt to drag him even closer to me. "Uh-uh," he said. "Not yet." Then he grabbed both my wrists and brought my hands above my head. This is when we kissed. First, he bit me in my underlip. Then, he bit me in my upper lip. Then, I bit him back. He moaned. His moan was the deep sort of sound that you can feel in your stomach. Then we fell to the floor. I ripped off his clothes and he ripped off mine. My hands were shaking when untangling his belt buckle. He had to help me out. No movement was fast enough. His mouth found my breasts. My hand found his butt. He moved over me. Then he moved into me. I sighed. His hips moved rapidly, like if there was no time to lose. like if I would disappear on him any moment, like a stranger in a crowd. Sweat was dripping from his body. As he came inside me, he said my name. And then we laid entangled for a while, catching our breath. And then we fucked once more before sleeping, and once more before getting out of bed. Did you meet again? Once, we sat next to each other at a panel, discussing fiction. My fantasies, she said, always end in the happy ever after. Usually, I will picture someone I know. He will walk up to me at a party. Then he will say to me so loud that everyone can hear, "You're special." "You are special," I said. "I know," she answered. Then it will suddenly be only the two of us, in a bed, missionary style. And then we will both know that this is how it will be, for eternity. "Some nights ago," I said, "I dreamt that the world was ending. The officials advised everyone to hide in their closets. When I travel on a train, I most often rest. Something about the soft, meticulous movement makes my mind wander. I like the short time spent in between one thing and another, when nothing is expected from me. Right now, nothing is expected of you. All you have to do is listen. If you want to, you can look out the window. Look at the concrete of the walls we're passing. The glass of the windows in the buildings. The steel of the tracks. The weeds growing in between them. Can you feel the slight shiver of the train? Through your feet on the floor? Or if you carefully touch the window with your fingers? Move your fingers to the soft rubber at the edge. In my dreams," she said, "I'm always someone else. If I could camouflage," I said, "I would camouflage as an accountant. I would wear an informal suit. My eyes would be blue. My shirt would be blue, a lighter nuance. My hair would be combed to the side. My pants slightly unflattering. My shoes would be practical and of good quality. I would," she said, "camouflage as happy. Look at the colors of the city as we pass. In the winter, the city seemed to wear a constant coat of gray. The sky is gray. The buildings are gray. Even if they're painted in different colors, it is like that color also takes on a gray hue. There are few pines in the city. Most trees lose their green leaves, leaving the stems dark towards the sky. Even people turn gray. They dress differently. Bright skin lose the red in the cheeks. Darker skin becomes dry, leaving a thin layer of gray on top. Sometimes," she said, "I think that the only thing left with color in the winter is is the head of the cock. Him, she said, and pointed to a man, looking much like the man sitting across from you. What would you do if you could do what you want to do with him? Him, I said. Him, I would just wait for. I would gather dust, then spider webs. Then one day, he would come over. Carefully with his fingers, he would lift the spider webs away. Then he would blow the dust off my body. I would feel the soft touch of air from his mouth on my face, on my breasts, on the inside of my thighs. Then he would lean over to my ear and whisper softly. The words would make no sense. I would just listen to the tone. What took you so long? I would ask him. I was waiting for you, he would say. I would rise up. Dust would fall off my body. From the windows, light would shine in, making the particles visible in its streaks. And now, I would ask. Now, he would say. Now, we fuck like nobody have ever fucked before. There are only so many ways to fuck, I would answer. Then you choose one, he would say. And we would start there. I would let my body fall back on a dusty mattress on the floor. Dust would shine like gold in the air around me. Come here, I would say, and let my right leg fall to the side. Without hesitation, he would lay down on top of me and move inside me. Sweat would run in streams, making the dust into rivers of mud moving down my body. There is a season in this city, late spring, early summer, when even the trees are sweating. When walking the streets, you don't feel it. But when biking, small drops from the trees will fall on your skin like rain. Cars, bikes, and anything else left underneath a tree overnight will turn sticky. Like if someone has poured Coca-Cola or some other soda over it. In that season, you can see the traces of sweat on the leaves of the trees we pass. I want to be like the plants, she said. Like them, I'd like to reproduce in vegetative ways. I'd grow all my life, creating new parts in any direction I might want. And then, when ready to let go, with a sigh, I would let an arm fall to the ground. There, it would make its own roots and start another life. What would you do, he asked, if you could do whatever you wanted to with me? I smiled and blushed. I drew my breath. You, I said. I would let you wait for a long time. Maybe all the way into fall, when the colors change and the trees start losing their leaves. I would talk interested to you every time we met. How are you? I would say. And I like your new haircut. And your shirt. You look fresh today. But I would wait. And when fall finally arrived, and the wind would blow in your hair that would have grown long during the summer, then I would walk into you. Maybe in a park. Maybe on a field. maybe on a street running from one part of the city to another. And then I would look at you for a long time. Without saying anything, we would both know. It is time. How would we know? He asked. By the way the wind blew, I answered. We would not go home. We would hide behind the trees that still had some leaves left on them. We would rest in the softness of the leaves that had already fallen. We would only unbutton our pants, like one does when it is slightly chilly outside. I would not learn how your chest would feel under my fingers. I would not learn how your heat would move my body. How your legs would entangle in mine while sleeping. But I would, I said. I would hold your penis in my hand, and I would lead it into my hole. And I would feel the rough texture of the bark of the tree behind me as you pushed me rhythmically towards it. And I would lose my breath, and the only thing that would keep me standing would be you. Leaning on my body, leaning on the tree. And I would learn how my cramps would feel around your erected cock when coming. And I would learn what it felt like when you came inside me. How your sperm would feel afterwards, when running out of my body, down my thighs. And after that, he asked, we would be together. No, I said. Then, we would again greet each other friendly when we met. How are you? You would say. That dress sure looks good on you. Until fall would come again. And once more, we would both know that it was time. And we would walk the roads, hoping that one day we would walk past each other. I would look for you in the men I passed, and you would see me in the faces of strangers. It took me a month or so before I noticed him, she said. He was on the same train as me every other morning. I guess we were both the sort of people who never managed to nail down a routine. And therefore end up being slightly early or slightly late, and never ever making it exactly on time. But both of us would always choose the same cart. We were not the same age, and we dressed very differently. Either he liked a conservative style of dressing, or his work demanded it from him. First, we noticed that we noticed each other. Then, once, he looked at me too long, and I smiled as I sat down, trying unsuccessfully to hide it. Then, one morning, he asked me my name. I gave him a false one. He told me his. This was the only thing we ever said to each other. For the next 2 years, we wrote next to each other. Every other morning, he would rest his hand on the inside of my thigh. I would sometimes bite his ear. Nothing more happened. And one morning, he was no longer there. I once, she said, walked past a man I was so attracted to that without thinking, I turned around and followed him. Catching up to him, I gently moved my hand across his chest, up towards his left shoulder. Then I pulled his t-shirt aside so I could see his veins. I looked him in the eyes before moving behind him. Then I bit his neck. And afterwards, I asked her. I walked away, she answered. looked behind you. Is there someone there? Looking at you? No, she said. But I know what sound he makes when he comes. I hear it everywhere. I hear him breathing in the runners in the park as they stop at the same traffic light as me, waiting. And I hear the sound of his body turning in the sheets when I myself dump a heavy bag on my sofa when getting home after a long day. Everywhere I hear him. Nothing I do can make him uncome. Look out of the window. Maybe this city finds its shades from the soil that turns to dust on dry days, in between the buildings we're passing, in between the straws of the fields. These dusty colors seem present everywhere, in all seasons, and in the sandy shade of the hair on the heads of certain men who have lived here for generations. I've been wanting to get away, she said. Escape. Like seeds that fly with the wind and land somewhere different. But me, she continued. I never dream of flying. I want to stick to someone, like thistles do. Crawl my fingers into someone's hair. Hang on for bare life until I'm somewhere else. Look around you at your fellow passengers. It's okay. Nobody's looking at you. What do you like? I asked her. I like when people sigh, she said. Any sigh? Yes. Any sigh. I like the small marks the surroundings leave on the body, I said. I like the mark of a watch that has just been taken off. I like the wrinkles in the skin from the wrinkles in the sheet in the morning. I like the slight disfiguration of feet after a day in shoes that fit too tightly. I like, she said, the way some men pull their index finger when thinking. I like, she said, how certain men dry water off their face after swimming, one hand only. What do you like the most? I asked a woman, looking much like the woman sitting across from you. I like sharply cut hair, she answered. What do you like the most? I like looking at his face while I move my finger towards his anus. What do you like the most? I like falling asleep afterwards. And you? I asked a man I once met. What do you like the most? I like coming all over someone. Like I dreamed of when I was a teenager and only knew bodies through the fantasies of others. What do you like the most? I like it when I discover needles from pine trees stuck on my skin while in the city. Do you like the most? I like being liked. What do you like the most? I like you. What I like the most is waiting, she said. What do you mean? I asked. I mean, she touched her left hand with her right hand while looking away. A while ago, a friend was sleeping over at my place. We had known each other for a long time. But now, something was different. It was hard to put my finger on it. It was just something. I made a bed for him in the room next to mine. He arrived late, and we both went straight to sleep. In the morning, he took the sheets off his bed, folded them nicely, and laid them on a chair. And in the nighttime, I again made his bed. This night, we went to bed early. I laid awake, waiting for him. Did anything happen? No. What do you like? I like plumber's cracks. Whenever I see one, I think of sticking my finger into it. At the library, I said. I walked past a row of leather-bound copies of German poetry. They were old, and the leather had faded to different shades of pink. I pulled out one that had a similar shade to her skin, and stuck a finger into it. Put your left hand on your right hand. Discreetly pull your index finger. When was the last time someone touched you? Was it a handshake? Was it a random touch? Or was it someone deliberately touching you? You're beautiful, he said. I'm not interested in my beauty, I answered. I'm interested in you. What would you do to me? He asked. If you could do what you want to do with me. You, I said. You, I would fuck here and now. On the seat you're sitting on. Still a virgin, she said. She was about the age that I am now. Her child was playing outside. It was the child's birthday. I will teach you something, she said. This, she continued, is how you should suck a man. I did not say anything. She took my hand, bending down my thumb, my index finger, my ring finger, and my pinky, leaving my middle finger standing erect. Then she sucked it. Letting it go, she said. That's the wrong way to do it. Then she pulled my hand closer again. You approach it slowly. First, you let your warm breath caress the sides of it. She was breathing on my finger. Then, you open your mouth over the head, still not touching it. You keep going without touching until he moans. She looked at me, both eyes locking mine, while breathing on my finger. Then you lick the stem. Take your time. Then, only then, do you open your mouth over the head and close your lips. She moaned as she moved up and down my finger. This is not my mother tongue, I told him. I know, he said. Then he leaned towards me and stuck a finger into my mouth. I do not know at what time of the day you're traveling. It is unlikely that it is very early morning. But some other time you might have traveled early in the morning. Then you know that this city is often covered by fog. During the night, humidity gathers on the surfaces of the grass and the trees and the buildings. As the sun slowly rises and the temperature gets higher, the water evaporates. Mist forms, white against the sharper colors of the buildings. Riding a train through the mist, the landscape turns blurry. Once, she said, while waiting for a train to another city, a different train rolled onto the track next to me. It had traveled through the night. The windows were covered with condensation from the breath of sleeping people. The roof was wet with drops of rain. A woman was sitting in her underwear, looking out. We looked at each other. Some minutes later, when I looked back, she had turned the lights off, and I could no longer see her. I entered my own train, took off my shoes, and put my feet in the seat opposite from me. It was early morning, and I was tired. When I sleep alone, I usually sleep with one hand on my left breast. I could not do that on the train. Instead, I put both my hands in my pockets. Through the thin white cotton fabric on the inside of the pockets, my hands touch the crest where the upper body stops and the legs begin. If you yourself have pockets in your pants, put your hands into them. Feel the soft materials. Touch your skin through it. Rest your hands in this softness for a while. Close your eyes, she said to me. I do not want you to look at me when I tell you. Okay, I said, and closed my eyes. If you want to close your eyes as well, go ahead and do so. I like waking up in the morning, she continued. You know, she said, and took a long break. You know the state when you're half awake and half still dreaming? Yeah, I answered. When in that state, I like leaning over him as I stretch my tired body. Then I like to feel his body, still warm and slow from sleep. With my eyes still closed, I will move my hand towards his stiff morning cock. Most often he'll moan, not ready to wake. But some mornings, he'll turn around, and still half sleeping, we will, with the heaviness only early mornings have in them, fall over each other. Somehow, in this state, it is difficult to find each other's openings, each other's wet and ready parts. But when we do, he will move inside me, interweaving my dreams. If you closed your eyes, slowly open them again. Look outside. Once, when I was looking out of the window you're looking out of now, I saw a flock of migrating birds fly across the sky. I could hear them before I could see them. I had not at that time thought of which direction south was, but now I immediately knew. Some years ago, a flock of birds were thrown off course by a storm near the city I was living in at the time. The storm might even have reached the strength of a hurricane, even though this was the inland. Some of the birds landed in small lakes. They mistook the lakes with the ocean. This specific kind of bird, whose name I do not remember, are unable to take off and fly from smaller lakes. Unless they were helped to the ocean, they would slowly die in close proximity to where they landed. The newspapers wrote that if you saw one, you should wrap it in a towel and drive it to the closest shore. There, you should release it, so it could continue its journey south. Is this your home now? I asked her. She has lived in this city longer than what I have. The only time I do not feel lonely, she answered, is when someone has a finger inside me. Notice if some of the passengers sitting around you are touching their phones. If their fingers are moving across the screens, carefully touching the small device they're holding in their hands. I like looking at men when they touch their phones, and even more when they talk. The way they move their hands, even when the person they talk to do not see them. Like if words are not enough. Once, I asked a man to fuck me with his hands only. First he did not want to. But then, one day, when we were heading home, he started moving his hand up my thigh. I leaned in on him, like I often did. But he gently pushed me away. Then he started caressing my left ear. Where he would usually use his mouth, he used the tips of his fingers. When we got to our place, he opened the door for me, his right hand on the keys and his left hand on the doorknob. Gently pushing the door in front of me. Then, he deliberately dropped the keys to the floor, breaking the silence between us with the noise, and leaving both his hands free to unbutton my pants. He kept his clothes on while removing all of mine, one item after the other. Then, while walking into the bedroom, he gently touched the wall with his right hand. His other hand casually placed in his pocket, like one does when strolling down the street in a good mood. I could not take my eyes from him. Of course I followed. In the bedroom, he put both his hands around my waist and threw me onto the bed. Then he moved his index finger from my shoulder to my armpit, down along the side of my body. As he reached my stomach, he gently scratched me with his nail. I shivered. He continued his movement across my hip, avoiding my pussy, continuing down the inside of my thigh, down my leg. Then he let his finger go, like if breaking a line, before quickly touching down again under my foot, following the arc. Then he firmly gripped both my ankles and dragged my body towards the end of the bed, letting my legs hang down from the edge. He sat down next to me, leaning the weight of his body on his left hand, while his right hand gripped my breast. First, he caressed it with rough movements. Then he let it go and only touched my nipple with his finger. First with his thumb, his index finger, and his middle finger. Then lifting his middle finger. Then lifting his thumb. Leaving only his index finger, carefully caressing this one point of my body. For a short time, he pulled my left ear again. I could feel the blood pumping to it. The heat was spreading, also there. With the palm of his hand, he stroked my left side, moving across my stomach, down the inner thigh of my right leg. He rested his hand there for some seconds. Then he gently spread my outer lips. I clenched my own fists tightly around the bedsheets. My knuckles turned white. He lifted his body from the hand he was leaning on and grabbed me around both my wrists, moving my arms above my head. My body was arcing. Again, he leaned on his left hand. I could see the angled side of the hand pushing hard into the mattress. The soft sheets were crumbling underneath it. I could not take my eyes from one protruding vein, pulsating. He moved my left leg slightly closer to him, before again moving my outer lips apart. Then he slid two fingers inside me, leaving his thumb on the top of my pussy. Then he fucked me. One hand only. I bit my lip so hard that I started bleeding. The taste of iron spread in my mouth. When I came, he rested his fingers inside me for a while. Pulling out, his fingers were wet. He moved them across my body, drawing a line on my dry skin. He dried the blood off my lips with his hand, touching my lips first with the fine hair on the back, then with his wet fingers. Then he rose up from the bed. He moved his right hand towards his face and licked his fingers while walking out of the room. The left hand was gently resting in his pocket. What I like the most is seeing the veins of my lover expand, then touching them as his sweat is dripping, she said. My first crush was on a horse, I answered. I like, she said, to lick salty skin. When I was a child, I said, I was told that when swimming in inland lakes, small fish swim into one's pussy. Really? I asked my friend. Yeah, she answered. It is true. Okay, I said. It is real hard to get the fish out again, she said. Yeah? Yeah. When I was a child, she said. I had a crush on our dog. I would rub flowers on his eyes when he was sleeping, so that he would fall in love with me when he woke up. I had seen it in plays by Shakespeare. I would follow him everywhere. When I was a child, I answered, I would put little white stones into my pussy. I would carry them around inside me, till they changed color. I do not like when men I meet sleep over, he said. I like to clean my room, make my bed, and put on newly washed clothes. Then, I like to sit without moving, waiting for the doorbell to ring. That, he said, is my favorite moment. I like, I said, when my pillow smells of someone else. Sometimes, when I look at the other passengers, I wonder what they're thinking. Their bodies resting in their seats, or standing up, holding on to the poles made for holding on to, as the train speeds up or slows down, heading out or heading home. After a long day. If you could do what you want to do with me, what would you do? He asked. First, I said, I would have you stop talking. Do I talk too much? He asked. No, I answered. Then I would slowly take off all my clothes. I would start with my socks, followed by my pants and my underwear. Then, while getting myself a glass of water from the kitchen, I would tear off my top. I asked you what you would do to me, he said. This is what I'm doing to you, I answered. When returning from the kitchen, I would undress you in the same order. First your socks, then your pants, then your briefs, bending down in front of you, both hands moving from your butt, along your thighs and down your legs, before asking you to step out of your pants. Right foot, left foot. Then I would remove your sweater. I would leave your t-shirt on. Why? This is my dream. You have already stopped talking. Then I would grip your t-shirt with my right hand and pull you towards me. Before dragging you onto a futon in the corner of the room, we would kiss. Standing above you, I would see the wrinkles left from my hand in the soft fabric of your t-shirt, right where your neck meets your chest. Then I would climb over you. Slowly, I would move my body over your body. As my head reached your head, I would move my mouth towards your ear. Then I would whisper, yes. Yes, you would answer. Then I would ride you so slowly that it hurt. And you, I asked, what would you do if you could do whatever you wanted to with me? First, he said, I would stop talking. Continued. You would slowly take off all your clothes. First, you would take off your socks. Then you would take off your pants and your panties. Then you would walk away from me into the kitchen. There you would take a sip of water. You would spill a little while drinking. The water would run down your top, making the fabric around your nipple wet and see-through. Your nipple would grow firm. Then you would tear your top off. Yeah, I said. When you returned from the kitchen, you would undress me in the same order that you took off your own clothes. First my socks, then my pants. Then you would bend down on your knees and pull down my briefs. I would feel your warm breath on my penis. Then you would ask me to lift my legs. Right foot. Left foot. Then you would rise up to take off my shirt, leaving only my t-shirt on, gripping it with your right hand, pulling me towards you. Your grip would be hard, but your kiss soft. How soft? I asked. Softer than I have ever been kissed before, he answered. Still holding on to my t-shirt, you would pull me towards a futon in the corner of the room. There, you would push me over, and I would fall on my back. Would it hurt? I asked. No, he answered. Slowly, you would climb on top of me, moving your body over my body, your head towards my head. When you would be face to face with me, you would move your mouth towards my ear. Then you would whisper, yes. Yes, I would whisper back to you. Then you would ride me so slowly that it hurt. Look outside. You're getting closer to the station where you entered this train. Once, I overheard a couple talking on the train. They were sitting right across from me. "Tell me all your secrets," she said to him. "All my secrets?" he asked. "Yes," she answered. As the train stopped, he grabbed his coat and they got off. This has been an audio tour by Inger Wall Lund. Additional sounds were created and mixed by Claire Tolan. Thank you for listening.